Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through the end of March. I also provide a monthly update as a blog post, which you can also reference with the graphs I'll mention during this podcast. And for the regular listeners, the format's going to remain the same. Market updates includes the major asset class moves, any noteworthy moves on the returns. I'll talk about the interest rates, specifically using the treasury rates and what's been going on there. Comment on the recent Federal Reserve meetings and then any special topics. This month, I'm going to do some last-minute tax planning tips and I-bonds before May 1. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So moving to the usual format, the major asset class returns. As I look at my blog post here, I start with the table at the top of the blog post, and it shows the returns of the past month and then year-to-date and then 2023 returns and some volatility. Looking at the first column, which is where the one-month returns are, overall, I sound like a broken record here at this point, but you know, equity returns are up yet again. So third month of the year of 2024, 25% of the year is over here. U.S. equities for the month about up 3.5%, and international, call it 2.5 to 3%, depending upon developed and emerging. So on the equity market side, again, another solid month. Looking over at the year-to-date column, so the second column there, you just see quite a dispersion there. So the U.S. large caps are leading the pack at 10.5%. You know, those are kind of, or those are more. You might think those would be full year returns, but those are only for the first 3 months. However, the small caps are about 4.5%, and then emerging, international markets, kind of in that 2.5 to 6% range. So. Not as strong as the U.S. large caps. Again, those who have been following the news, you hear about the Magnificent Seven. Now maybe the Fabulous Five, because the Apple and Tesla have been taking some hits. But nonetheless, the theme from last year with the tech companies dominating is still present. Not as prevalent, but still present. And that's why the U.S. equity large cap is sticking out on a year-to-date basis. We also have other asset classes in this table. So looking at the bonds, overall for the month, kind of meh, you know, up a little bit. You know, think of it as the coupon carry, maybe a bit more for rates. But interest rates just kind of chopped around a little bit, end of the month where they started roughly. I'll talk about that more in a bit. But returns for the month just, you know, I mean, not bad, up slightly. And looking down, I guess high yield continues to jump out as, you know, positive returns, which is pretty surprising how tight spreads are, but I digress here. And then going down to the REITs and the commodities, surprisingly, not for commodities, but for the REITs, that they had a surprisingly positive month. If you look over at the year-to-date, you do see a negative return there. Again, fundamental story of REITs remains challenged, especially the as debt comes due, they have to refinance it, or if they can't, you know, if the banks require more collateral or don't want to do the loan because different dynamics going on, they have to try to find a place to refinance it or turn in the keys. And so that refinancing wave is still coming, kind of a slow train wreck, but it's still out there. So that is the major returns for the month from the asset classes, looking at the table anyway. Looking at the graph below it, again, still talking about major asset class returns. Now I turn, again, this is shows the return through year-to-date, so you can kind of see the ups and downs through the first 3 months of the year. And I use exchange-traded funds here from Y charts to show you so that we have publicly traded markets that a person can follow. I do show total returns here, so it's early enough in the year where not a big difference, but any coupon income from bond ETFs or dividends reinvested are included in my numbers in the graph here for total return. Nothing really to jump out other than what I mentioned above. I guess the one thing I do include again, the equal weighted ETF, the ticker is RSP is the one I use. There's a few of them out there. Just to show the difference between that one, which is the S&P 500 index, everyone has an equal weight, versus the S&P 500 is a market value weighted, which again kind of dominated by those bigger names. And so the equal weighted index caught up toward the end of March here. So a sign that things are broadening out a bit more. You know, I mentioned that the Magnificent Seven kind of dropping down a few and still prevalent, but not as dominating as it was late last year. So that's one thing to note. Sorry for the ramble there. The other thing is the most negative, the lowest returning line, asset class on the table and the graph here, excuse me, are the U.S. REITs. And so you can see, I mentioned in my blog post, they would have had probably a negative return for the month, but the last week or so of the month of March, they had a nice pop. Not exactly sure why. That asset class just surprises me as it stays up here. But anyway, you can see that kind of end of month pop on the graph. But again, it still is the negative 1.28 on the graph year to date. And there's one other asset class that's negative. It's the magenta line, and that is capturing the U.S. aggregate bond index. So it's just negative. It's minus 0.75%. In general, remember these are total returns. So you're getting the coupon income from the aggregate bond index. Let's call it probably 5.5 is my guess. I haven't looked at it in a bit, but you get that coupon throughout the year. But then as interest rates rise, you lose in price. And so capturing those two together, total return is slightly negative for the year. I am recording this on end of day on Thursday, the 4th of April. So the first couple months of April, I have visibility to here. It's not on my graphs, but on the blog post. But definitely the first couple of days of this month, a little bit choppy. So things are pulling back. Interest rates definitely had a little pop on Monday, up 10 to 15 basis points. So worth watching here in the month of April as we go along. So that is the market asset class wrap, if you will. Jumping now, the next section is interest rates. What have interest rates done? I use show treasury rates to capture that activity. But again, I do recommend or looking at, make sure they're high quality. But when you're investing your portfolio, maybe going with some taking on some corporate credit risk or other types of risk, not just treasuries, but do it carefully. So I show treasuries just to capture the rate movement here. And overall, I show the five-year graph, but when I was looking at it and drilling in, pretty much the beginning of month to the end of month for March, month-to-month end points, pretty much not much change at all. There were some wiggles up and down during the month, and again, since month end, I just mentioned it's up quite a bit again. But overall, not a whole lot of movement there. The one thing that started to happen, we haven't talked about the twos, tens curve, the inverted curve, terms like that, that were hot a while back. So that's still with us. And so the curve is still inverted, meaning the 10-year treasury rate is lower than the 2-year treasury rate. And that, was getting tight early in the year. In January, it was the 10-year minus the 2-year yield was only about a minus 0.15%. And then since then, it drifted all the way back down to about a 0.45, negative 0.45 in early March. It was making a run back higher. The 10-year was rising faster than the 2-year, but then it backed off again recently, although again, it's picking up again. So I'm rambling on about that just because, right now it feels like, and I'll talk about the FOMC in a second here, but it feels like the shorter end of the curve, it's somewhat dialed in. We're not sure if the Fed's going to go one or two or three. I think they're definitely going to start cutting this year, but the question is how many times? But it's not we know that they're very likely not going to be raising rates in a matter of, how many cuts will they have? And if they don't do it this year, they're going to likely do it early next year. So the 2-year rate, which captures, more Fed activity and the short end activity, is, somewhat dialed in, if you will. But the longer end of the curve, I think the 10-year rates and the 30-year treasury rates, those are more geared toward one, long-run inflation expectations, and that, as that moves around, that's going to get picked up more on the long run of the curve. But also, too, the U.S. debt issue, and the large treasury Treasury issuance and debts that we have. So the annual deficit, meaning we don't have enough money coming in for the year to pay the bills, and so we just keep issuing more bonds. And then the overall debt pool is just gigantuan. So that, you know, the market likes to focus on one thing at a time, and every once in a while the market starts to focus on that issue is still out there with us. And so you know, some of the strategists on the in the bond market side are mentioning that, the you know, be careful on the long end, the 10-year and the 30-year stuff could have continuing drift to higher rates due to this debt issue that we have out there. What else to say here? Oh, then the other thing on the graph, I showed the usual Treasury rates that we all know and love, or might hear them anyway. You know, the 3-month, 2-year, 10-year, and 30-year. But I also showed this, another magenta line, captures the 10-year Treasury real yield, again, from the tips market, currently at 1.88 at the end of March. That is higher, on the higher end historically. So that's good. I mean, there's reasonable value out there on the tips market. But the interesting thing, and I'll talk about this in my special topic at the end, is if you look at the graph, let's call it 1.9%. Let's just round here among friends. Back in late October, it was closer to 2.4%. So quite a bit higher. And the reason I'm bringing that up is the I-bonds. So you may have heard about I-bonds. They were a hot topic back when inflation was really, really high and the I-bond was crediting a 9.62% crediting rate for a 6-month period. So that I-bond is set. You get actual inflation. They reset that every 6 months. But they also, the Treasury does this. They have subjectivity to it, but they're informed by the TIPS real yield market. And there, excuse me, there the current real yield has come down since the last time they reset it, which was November 1st. So long story short, the current I-bond for new money that's put in between November 1st of last year up through April 30th this year is going to receive this 1.3% fixed rate plus actual inflation for the life of that, as long as you hold it, that particular tranche. So if you're thinking about doing an I-bond for 24 and you haven't done it yet, I'd suggest this is a good time to do it before May 1st. So that's just a quick, much longer than I want to talk about there, but quick other comment I want to mention on the real yields. And then finally, the second to last topic, the Federal Reserve. The last meeting was March 20th. There was no rate cuts, but nor were any expected, so no surprises there. But what the market was watching was the dot plot. Every 4 times a year, they publish a summary of economic projections, unemployment, GDP, inflation, and then where the different, I think, 19 Federal Reserve members, where each of them view the Fed funds rate to be on 12/31 of the next 3 years, so 24, 25, 26. And at the last projection in December, they were the collective median estimate was at 4.6%, yeah, which implied 3 rate cuts for the month or for the year, for 2024. So the market was watching that to say, well, you know, because inflation has run a bit hotter earlier in the year, are they going to back off on that? Are they going to only price in 2 rate cuts? And the headline number, when it came out, it was the same. It was, you know, 4.6. And so the market loved it. You know, they were pretty excited. Hey, the Fed's going to keep cutting rates, going to keep feeding the beast here. And so the market just ripped on the news. But, you know, there's always a but. So interestingly, one, with those different projections, if there was only one more Fed official who would have put in a tick higher for the end of year level, it would have implied a 4.9, so implying a 2 rate cut move. And the other thing that I'm surprised, you know, there wasn't really mentioned much in the media or people weren't talking about it, but big surprise for me, the 2025 estimate and the 2026 estimate actually did go up. They took 1 rate cut out, so that did go higher, which I thought was pretty interesting as well. Excuse me, so got fighting a little cold here, so I apologize. So that's the Fed meeting. The market loved the reaction, but, you know, it was, I guess, again, always surprises me how the market reacts to these sometimes. And then the other thing was the other economic projections. Again, they had a higher GDP, you know, lower unemployment, so a much stronger, or not much stronger, but a leaning toward an improving economy. But then they also had the core PCE estimate you know, was estimated to be two tenths higher at the end of 2024. So again, it was kind of just a bit conflicting information of the other metrics in the economic projections, but the market likes to latch on to the potentially three rate cuts, and they happen to like that a lot. And then I do show on the blog post the what the market is pricing in for Fed rate cuts at upcoming meetings. And so the one particular one I show on the blog post is at the December meeting. In general, I guess in number terms, I don't have a graph on it, but when does the first rate cut expected to happen? Will it happen? As of right now anyway, that the market is thinking the June meeting, so June 12th to be exact. They're pricing at about a 60% chance that first rate cut comes in June. So not a slam dunk like it was earlier in the year, but so that's where that's at. And then I jumped out just to the end of the year to see what they'll get done. And since this middle of March, definitely the market has priced out some of the rate cuts. Initially had like six or seven at the beginning of the year. Now it's down closer to maybe four. But the likelihood that they may have to stop at three is the more prevalent or being priced in more now. And you'll see on the graph on my blog post, it shows the green line and the three rate cuts coming in as priced by the Fed funds rate. So not a guarantee by any stretch, but just what the market is pricing in. And then as a quick reminder, this again, Thursday the 4th here. So tomorrow morning, 7:30 Central Time, we get the next jobs report. So take a look at that closely, see how strong or not the jobs market is. And then finally, the special topics. What time? We've got 16, so a few more minutes here. Special topics for this month. One, I just wanted to point out some last-minute tax planning tips, or if you're confused by the different tax forms, you may have to give to your accountant. So I did a blog post on it last month, actually just a week or two ago, but I have a link on the blog post here, but there was a blog post and a podcast on some last-minute planning topics. Still have a couple week and a half. Don't cut it too close. The main thing is just remaining any IRA or HSA contributions for the 2023 tax year are the main levers to pull, but check that out. And then if you're confused by what kind of forms you have to give your accountant, hopefully you've started giving them some already, but I cover that in the blog post as well. So check it out. As a quick reminder, those who may think, well, I'll just file an extension, not to worry. That's fine if you do that. But remember, if you do that, you still need to pay in your estimated taxes due by the April 15th deadline, or whatever the actual day is with holidays and weekend dates, but April 15th deadline. And then the other thing is the IRA HSA contributions, you also have to get those done by the April 15th deadline. So those you can't extend. If you are doing employer contributions, there you do get to enjoy the extension, but that only applies to the business owners out there, employer contributions. The other special topic, again, I guess I mentioned it above, with the I-bonds. And so just as a reminder, again, if you're thinking of doing an I-bond, I'd recommend doing it now to capture this higher fixed rate. They're going to reset it on May 1st. And just given, again, it's subjective, so nobody knows for sure, but looking at the real yields relative to where they were last October, if they don't change materially here, my guess is they're going to be lower on the fixed rate. So if you're thinking of doing it, go ahead and lock it in now before May 1st. So that's it for the special topic. So just in summary, again, I sound like a broken record, but equity markets continue to march higher. Although again, first few days of April here, not looking so good. Interest rates, not major moves for the month. They chopped around a little bit here and there, but month to month, they pretty much were unchanged. Again, on the move here again in April, FOMC market committee, no major changes there. The dot plot was, kind of as expected, although a bit of wiggle room. I talked about the whether it's two rate cuts or three, only depend upon one person. And then finally, the special topics that I just rambled on about. So that is a wrap on today's topic. Enjoy the basketball weekend, college basketball. Got both women and men Final Fours this weekend. Should be exciting. Those who are in that eclipse band in the middle of the U.S., enjoy the eclipse next, I think it's next Monday. And for those enjoying the soggy April weather, just remember the Mayflowers are coming. All right? That's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.